This is Jay Sekulow. The first 100 days of the Trump administration, I consider it a success. I'm going to point out the media's attacks and their failures.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, it is day 99 of the Trump administration. We're literally one day away from the first 100 days. And the media is making a lot about this issue. And I think the 100 days is an artificial deadline. But every presidency has been, in the recent times, has been evaluated by this. Let me point out a couple of things really quickly here about successes. Number one, the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch. Number two, a complete change in the way the United States is viewed at the UN, especially in its relation to Israel because of the Nikki Haley and the administration's policies. On the life front, the Mexico City policy, which stopped overseas funding of abortion-oriented groups so they would not get U.S. dollars, that was approved by the president. Drop in illegal immigration has been significant. There's also been, of course, the Keystone pipeline and the Dakota pipeline as well. We have a power projection of the United States militarily. We saw that in Afghanistan. We've seen it in Syria. Those are the positives. I will give you quickly and then some of the things I think that the administration needs to question their messaging, I think, is a big part of this. And this goes to what the media would call failures. Of course, the media would call the appointment of Neil Gorsuch a failure, too, because they don't like him. But I think, number one, healthcare rollout was not well done. There's still not enough of the deputies in the administration. If they're going to fill these slots, they really need to do this. Not weeding out the bureaucrats. And I think communication has suffered. I think the president would be the first to acknowledge it. Let me get the sense from Jordan and the sense from Than as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that overall, the positives that you list, those are the president is going to the extent he can to take action with because of a dysfunctional Republican Congress, which has had poor leadership. Let's just be honest.
Yep.
And a lot of the blame of the things that didn't happen in the first 100 days, the president was willing to sign whatever health care replacement they had. Congress couldn't get anything to his desk as of today.
Right.
And they said they're not going to be voting on it before this first continuing resolution to fund the government for another week. Now, listen, if that happens next week,
success.
Things change. You would add that to the success. It may be the 103rd day that happened, but it would be huge. But so far, a lot of the blame, I think, can be put on a dysfunctional Republican leadership who's really only been able to do one thing right, and that was in the Senate, the rule change necessary to get Judge Gorsuch to be Justice Gorsuch. That was a big deal. But legislatively, they have been a mess in Congress.
Yeah.
And so all of these pros have been actions the president has taken on his own. Now,
Without Congress,
his authority. I'd say the Syrian.
Except the confirmation of Gorsuch.
Yeah, I'd say the Syrian military strike on that base after the chemical attack. I think that the cabinet appointments have been solid. You're right. There's not enough deputies. There's not enough people to root out, drain the swamp that President Trump said he'd like to do.
Yep.
You've got to appoint more people, and that also takes Congress because you've got to get them confirmed.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We want to know what you have to think about this. In other words, success or failure, what do you think the successes are? Where are you concerned? How do you rate the first 100 days? We're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me get Than in very quickly, then I'll go to Logan to let everybody know how they can engage. Than, what's kind of your evaluation of where we are today? Congress is basically a CR, a continuing resolution here?
That has passed the House just in the last few minutes, Jay. The Senate is going to pass it by unanimous consent, so no government shutdown. Just very quickly, my answer to your question, I think the biggest impact of the last 100 days is how the United States is viewed around the world. We have seen that this week, but the United States is once again in a position of strength. That, to me, is the biggest change.
All right, Logan, we've got a lot of people already. Phone lines are already jamming up.
Yep.
But people can get their comments in on Facebook, too.
Yeah, you can still give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Not all the calls will make it through, but if they don't, again, you can join us on Facebook and Periscope. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. We're broadcasting live there right now. You get to watch us, not just listen. The television-style environment. You can also comment on there or Periscope, or you can watch it at aclj.org. But again, phone lines are, well, they're jammed right now, but they will be opening hopefully up. Well, hopefully not. We'll see. 1-800-684-3110.
Back with more in a moment, including, folks, don't forget, last couple of days here of our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. So it's the first 100 days, actually tomorrow, 99 days, and we are evaluating the presidency. We want to get your comments on this, but let me tell you from our standpoint, a couple of big wins. I think clearly the Neil Gorsuch confirmation to the Supreme Court of the United States, and we've got a case pending up there right now, so this is that's big for us. That's number one. Number two, I don't think you can ignore for a moment the change at the United Nations with Nikki Haley, again, a presidential appointment, and the strong stand she's taking against our enemies, whether it's North Korea, whether it's been the Russians, and, of course, the great stand she's taken with Israel. So that's a very big positive. On the life side, Mexico City policy, as I said, rolled back. That put it back in place so that we don't fund groups like Planned Parenthood overseas that are doing abortion funding. Keystone and Dakota Pipeline. And the failure, I think, has been, if you look at all the failure collectively, it's messaging has been, I think, the biggest fundamental problem that has existed for this administration. I think that is a big part of this. All right. Well, this is on a Friday here. We want to take your calls and comments. We want to know where you what you think of these first 100 days, and comments and criticisms are welcomed. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Let's go to Jennifer in California on line 4. You're on the air, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Jay. I wanted to let you know I'm very encouraged by the first 100 days and continue to pray that as the Trump administration weeds out the former shadow government,
yep,
we can see further improvement in terms of passing things like the overturn of Obamacare. And I continue to pray for Trump and his administration that we can see these things change. But I'm greatly encouraged in the support of Israel. And
Jennifer, what would you say? What would you say is the thing, if you're going to put the one thing that you think is the greatest success in your view? I mean, everybody's going to have different views on this, but what would you say it is?
I think it was a tremendous success that we affirmed Gorsuch as a Supreme Court justice. That was a great, and thank you for all the work you do. I'm a supporter, and I pray for you daily.
Thank you so much. You know, that's one that's worth talking about for a moment, because that wasn't just putting up a good nominee. That was the White House leadership getting the Senate leadership to make the right decision here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the truth is it's not the top level decision-making that has been the issue. It is the implementation of the policy items. What I mean, if you really think about it, these first 100 days, we brought up the shadow government. The first 50 days of the Trump administration was dealt with a barrage of attacks from that shadow government.
Yes.
I mean, I think you can almost start this first 100 days like 50 days in, because when they were just getting settled, and usually that's a time of relative calm. The media kind of, everybody gives you a pass, lets you get settled. Not for this administration, not for Donald Trump. I mean, remember all those interviews we did? I mean, the gloves were out for every potential nominee, whether it was Jeff Sessions, focusing in on the NSA. The leaks were going out of control. Now they've started to get a bit of that under control.
Yep.
Jeff Sessions said, we're going to start prosecuting people. We're going to look at WikiLeaks prosecution.
And on the immigration issue, the numbers of illegal immigrants way down.
Right, because one of the executive orders that was signed very early in the Trump presidency said we're going to hire 10,000 new Border Patrol agents, 5,000 new air agents, 15,000 total. And guess what? It's dropped, I believe, somewhere between 60 and 70% of the illegal border crossings. So, that has dropped. So illegal immigration significantly down. The economy is relatively stable. And that's without putting in a lot of new economic plans, without a new tax plan. That is just with having Donald Trump as president and the reaction of the markets.
Yeah, so that's the kind of normal market reaction when you've got people feeling like we're moving in the right direction. Dan, let me go to you in Washington. You're looking at the situation. Obviously, let's take the Gorsuch nomination off the table because that was clearly a major win. What do you see it right now, and where do you think the weaknesses are?
Well, just very quickly, I would say people need to not forget how significant the win is getting the Senate to change that vote threshold. 100 days ago, Jay, that was unthinkable, and yet the Senate did it for Neil Gorsuch. So that's a very big thing. But again, I come back to foreign policy. I mean, you look back at the end of the Obama administration, the United States around the world was constantly leading from behind. We had no even attempt to partner with China to talk about North Korea or other. And now yesterday, Jay, when Secretary Tillerson was at the Security Council, guess who was there also talking about sanctions? China. That is a major significant shift in just the first 100 days.
All right, Logan, we're getting comments coming in as well. Let's go ahead and get those and take some phone calls also. What do we got?
All right, let's take a phone call first. Okay. Let's go to Raj in Vienna, Virginia.
Hi, Raj. Go ahead. You're on the air.
We thank our God for his working through us and in us. And may our President Donald Trump and his wife Melania be found approved unto God. I so am grateful for all the prayer support which we received and which we sought directed at these very special things.
Yep.
So that's the first thing, to thank God, but to continue, because there are many battles to be won and many battles in the House and the Senate. And it is these who've got to be kept true to what they promised.
Well, I think you hit something, Raj, there, and that is, look, I mean, a continuing resolution is what's keeping the government operating this week. We were hoping yesterday for a vote on the rollback of Obamacare. It did not happen. So I'm concerned about that. And again, I think that's a leadership issue, not necessarily, I don't think you can blame the president on that, but it's all part and parcel. The president ultimately is responsible for it. So we need to get some House leadership here to get this resolved. I think this is a really big issue for the American people as well. And that seems to be a much more difficult task. Hard to believe when you've got Republican House and Senate
and
a White House
and
7 years to do it, and they cannot get their act together on this.
Yeah, and from the moderates to the conservatives, they all ran against getting rid of Obamacare. And yes, now we know from the Freedom Caucus, they're behind the replacement. So it's now down to a handful of moderate Republicans, literally a handful, to get this finished, to get this completed. And if it gets completed next week, I think, you know, within the first 100 days, this goes down as part of that, and it is the beginning of a new era of legislative reform. Yeah. But if it does not get completed before a longer budget resolution, or if they move on, I mean, Than, that's where I get very nervous. If this is not completed within the next 10 days or so, and I don't like putting restraints that are impossible, but if they're really down to a handful of votes, they're either going to get those handful of votes or not, and have to decide either to take the vote, and because they got those handful of votes they needed, or they're never going to be able to get those votes and move on. And that's a big loss.
Couldn't agree with you more, Jordan. I would go as far as to say it's an abysmal failure on the part of the House to not at least send something to the Senate at this point. I still think they will. But, Jordan, again, what has happened down the street on Obamacare while the House has been failing to do this? You basically have a commitment to not enforce Obamacare. I mean, that fine is not being enforced by the IRS. That is hugely significant. But to House Republicans, I would say, if you do not move something to the Senate under the terms of the reconciliation package, the voters are going to remember that.
I think that's absolutely correct. Let's go ahead and, Logan, either take another comment or call before the break here.
All right, let's grab a comment here. Let's find someone who wrote in something good. This this came in from Maybell. She said, it seems like he has to fight 10 times harder than any other president. And I think he does pretty well doing that. So that's a comment that came in. And mostly people are, you know, kind of relating about the president right now. So we can take a call if you'd like.
Well, now I want to comment on the, you know, the messaging, I think, is where the president's administration has had the biggest problem. I mean, yeah. Logan, you're a media guy. I mean, the messaging has been difficult.
Yeah, and every time you think it's better, sometimes it seems to backfire. Now, you did see some of the protests this past week, get some blowback, just people going, okay, kind of enough.
Yeah.
But in general, yeah, those first few months were really rough on the administration from a public way. Even if things were going great behind the scenes, publicly, it did not come off well. Globally, it did not come off well.
Now, I see a shift, though.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think there is a point where you can even see on your social media where people eventually start to just deal with it. Instead of the everyday Trump bashing, it's now every day you see a person or two, not everybody or not
so
a good portion of it.
It's
starting to. But then you have the situations like we have in Berkeley where things just go crazy.
So yeah, I don't know. I think that the escalation, there's the violent side of this.
Yeah, well, that's we saw in Berkeley with the
ongoing.
Ann Coulter and the other protests.
I don't know if there'll be something like the women's protests again, but I think if they are able to do something on healthcare, yes. You will face – listen, this is a president who's never going to get above really 50% because half the country is liberal now and very partisan. And so when you have those kind of divides, the idea that basically outside of wartime where you'll see approval ratings get into the 60s, sometimes even 70s, or a time when America has to come together, and those are unfortunate moments you hope you don't happen, like massive terror attacks the truth is that if you're a president right now and you can govern in the 52% approval rating, that means – you're getting about as much as you can, especially if you're really governing in a way that you promised your voters and you're not just the compromiser in chief. Now, I think President Trump is willing to compromise on many items, healthcare being one of them, to get things done, to start getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. He is willing to compromise, but he is not going to just compromise on and roll over on everything. We're starting to see a new tone internationally. And, what's been interesting is the foreign policy has been praised the most.
Yep.
The President Trump's foreign policy and military actions have received the highest praise from people even that are not supporters. It has been the domestic policy fights. And listen, President Obama, he knows that as well because his one domestic policy achievement is now under the gun. And it was the only domestic policy achievement he was able to get through Congress.
All right, we got a lot more ahead, including your phone calls at 800-684-3110. Let me say this. We're in the last 48 hours, maybe 72 hours, for our matching challenge campaign. We're a little bit behind our goal. So what that means is this. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. So if $10 becomes $20, $20, $40, so go to aclj.org and make a gift to aclj.org. Any amount, it's tax deductible. We get a matching gift for it. This is a big month for us, so we've got a lot of ground to make up. We're probably about 15% off where I'd like to be right now. So aclj.org, back with your calls in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-1-877. 989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. It's day 99 of the Trump presidency, so we're talking about this first 100 days. Listen, a lot of this coverage will be very skewed. The liberal media has got no love for Donald Trump. They don't like the fact that positives of what he got done, they don't like. They don't like that Neil Gorsuch is on the Supreme Court. They don't like that we actively have got a stronger military. They don't like the stronger stance we've taken when it comes to trade policies. They don't like drilling. They don't like using our natural resources. What do you not like?
I don't like the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I think the president is absolutely correct on this. They ruled against him on the executive order on immigration. There's a talk about the sanctuary cities. We've been before that judge at the lower court. So here's what the president said about this when asked about the Ninth Circuit.
Are you surprised by the Ninth Circuit ruling?
I'm never surprised by the Ninth Circuit. As I said, we'll see him in the Supreme Court.
There's this talk about dividing the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals up too right now, so that could be something. And that's
which
been
is not
about
just
before.
Like for political retaliation.
No, it's way
because
behind.
The circuit is too big, and the way that it kind of has this left coast versus the west, including in it, you could easily see a division. You could put like Utah, Arizona, these states that are more western valued, and then the left coast, if you will. I like to see the left coast. Like
Washington,
Oregon, California, Hawaii. Those states alone, just because California is so large in population, they actually deserve their own circuit because take out these politicized cases. People in normal federal cases are—it's so far delayed.
It's the opposite of the rocket.
It doesn't take away any power.
No.
By the way, of the judicial system either. It just makes it easier for people to access courts.
Absolutely, and that's something that it's been talked about a lot. It's not just as Jordan says, it's not just political retribution here. This is the fact of the reality of what we've got.
Now, could you do away with
you? Yeah, I think you could. No, you. Well, technically, the Constitution said you could.
We don't need it,
but that would not be probably wouldn't work out too well. All right, let's go ahead and take a call or a comment.
All right, let's go to David in Sarasota, Florida, on line four. David.
Oh, we like Sarasota.
Hey,
David.
How's it going?
Hey, good.
Just wanted to say I'm very proud of the stance that Trump showed with the missile strike on Syria.
Yeah.
I think it definitely showed strength on our part, definitely added to the image of the United States. Speaking of image, though, leads into what I think I'm a little disappointed in is his personal image. Today, reading reports from the Washington Post about how he is shaken a bit by the position of being in president, talking about how he somewhat misses his previous private life.
Well, I think,
and while he may feel that way, I think you should focus more on looking at professional image.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, look, Donald Trump what you see is what you get. This is not a politician in the White House. This is a businessman. So he's got a different kind of carriage. I think that this is a guy that's used to multitasking on a global scale. So this is not, this is not an unbelievable challenge, except the world is very complicated. But I think they're getting their messaging down at the White House much better now. I'm optimistic. I'm pleased in the direction. I think it was, as we said, a rough start. The leaks were unbelievable. I think that's starting to get locked down. Still not completely locked down, but I think this is what you were talking about. This is what the president said.
I loved my previous life. I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. I actually, this is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. I thought it was more of I'm a details-oriented person. I think you would say that. But I do miss my old life. I like to work, so that's not a problem. But this is actually more work.
It's because it's a complicated world we live in, and you're having to make decisions.
And a horrible Congress.
Yeah, and a Congress is very difficult.
He has a Congress run by Republicans who, especially in the House, who have never really been able to accomplish anything on their own. They were a good opposition party. I'll give them that. They were a great opposition party, a governing party so far. And see, Donald Trump's used to being able to, if you're not a good manager, get rid of that manager, replace him with something new. He's having to deal with a very tough middle management. And that's kind of how Congress is right now.
Yeah.
They're his party. They're like his team, but they are not very good at executing.
Well, I think it's fair to say the criticism, if we looked at the healthcare rollout, it lays at the feet of Paul Ryan. And I don't mean to be disparaging, but I'm just being honest. 7 years to figure it out, and they couldn't get it out of the gate. And they're still having trouble, even this afternoon.
Mr. Policymaker.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair, Jay. First of all, to the last caller, I would say I actually think it's a good thing to have a president that misses private life. I actually think we need more of that in Washington, D.C. But to that point, it's the fact that we have professional politicians right now in the House. I would argue when it gets to the Senate, we'll probably see the same thing, who are more concerned about their next reelection than passing good policy that they promised for 7 years. And by the way, Jay, if they don't get this done, I will think they will have misplaced their fear about being reelected, because if they don't get this done, they are not going to be reelected.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. All right, let's go ahead, Logan, take another phone call here.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Steve, who's calling in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I personally think that the first 100 days is a disappointment.
Okay.
But I don't blame Trump. I blame the Republicans. I mean, the Democrats, it doesn't matter if it's right, wrong, or whatever. They'll come together as a group. Mm-hmm. But the Republicans are more concerned with infighting instead of looking at the bigger picture. Can you imagine where we would be if the Republicans worked together with Trump?
Well, it's hard to believe, first of all, that they had 7 years on some of this planning and they couldn't figure out how to lead. I'm with you there. And I think the second thing, I'll let Jordan and Than take it here, but I do want to say this. It has been disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, for those of us that work in Washington, it's very disappointing the way this has gone down.
Not a jealous person, but I've always been jealous of how the Democrats are able to unite. Yeah. I've always been jealous about how their judicial nominees are able to always come to the decision that you can predict. They're easy to predict, so if you appoint them, you know where they're going to be on issues. And I'm not saying that's even a litmus test. You just know what you're getting. So I am always jealous of how, even when they're in the minority party, they're able to appear very strong, critical. Their messaging seems to work. Even when they can't win any of these special elections, they don't, you know, put their head in the sand and shrug their shoulders. They're fighters in a sense that Paul Ryan is really not. Paul Ryan's not Chuck Schumer. He's tried to put himself out there as a policy wonk. Now, that may be a problem when you're trying to explain something very complicated to people and you love all the details and CBO reports, and you know what? We need action. Sometimes I think word of action forward is one that we can adopt to some extent. That's why the Tea Party movement started. We need action. We need to be moving forward. So, yeah, I get the jealousy factor there. I mean, you could be very jealous of how the left and the Democrat Party is able to operate, even as a minority party. And guys are we're a handful of votes away from getting health care.
And they can't pull it off.
And they can't move pretty small players politically. We're talking about individual members of Congress who could easily lose their jobs if the NRCC decided to fund an opponent. So why are they not feeling the real pressure? I think because Paul Ryan is too much of a purist.
Yeah, I think
a purist when it comes to politics. Let them kind of be.
And let's be realistic. Politics is not the art of the perfect. No. Politics is the art of the possible.
And it's a blood sport.
And it is a blood sport. And it's a difficult sport. And I think, Than, the great disappointment in that has been, I mean, here we are. We were hoping we'd get the vote yesterday or today on the health care rollout of the repeal, the beginning of that process on the repeal of Obamacare. And that's been kicked down the can for another week.
And it's going to be Speaker Ryan's job to pull it back together, Jay. Yeah. He's going to be the one that's responsible. You can point to the Freedom Caucus. You can point to the Tuesday group. But what is the job of the Speaker of the House? It's to take the agenda that you want to move and to find enough votes to pass it. It's clearly in his lap right now.
Yep.
Jay, it's going to be next week. If it's not, I think it's going to lay at his feet.
Unbelievable. All right, Logan, we're here for another 30 minutes. Let everybody know how they can get this broadcast.
That's right. If your station doesn't carry the full hour or if you just want a different experience, you can join us online, ACLJ.org, where you can watch it. Facebook and Periscope, you get to watch and interact. So Facebook.com/JaySekulow, you can get your comments in. You take some of those during the show and during the break, and they get read by someone on our social media team. So your comments and your voice is heard. Either way, that's at Facebook.com/JaySekulow. If this is where we lose you, you can get us archived later on the ACLJ app, available on Apple devices as well as Roku, and you can get the Jay Sekulow Live podcast delivered straight to your phone each and every day. Be right back with more.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
So take care of business. First 100 days. Let me give you the successes. Number one, Neil Gorsuch confirmed to the United States Supreme Court, and that included a change of policy, a change of the so-called rule by the Senate. So that was a bold move. A renewed engagement at the UN, especially in defense of Israel, with Nikki Haley. Great job there. Mexico City policy, this return of no foreign funding for groups that are engaged in abortions. That was a big win. Also, you could talk about the Keystone and Dakota pipelines. Those are big wins. Failure, I think, is in the summary of messaging. You see that certainly the not being able to get the Affordable Care Act repealed again. It was supposed to be the but we thought we'd be talking about that today. We're not. That is a failure of messaging.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is that would have been a huge way to end this 100 days.
Yep.
And again.
A handful
now, not conservatives. It's not the Freedom Caucus. Now it's the moderate Republicans. We're talking literally a handful. I cannot believe that Paul Ryan could not arm twist a handful of votes to get this done for President Trump and for the Republican Party. Than, I mean, you have to wonder at this point, yeah, maybe give him another week. And after that, is there a leadership change in Capitol Hill because of Paul Ryan's failures?
Even if they get it through next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, Than, what do you think about that? If next week and the CR goes forward and they can't get this vote, what happens next week to Paul Ryan?
I actually do think that could be a reality, Jay and Jordan. I really do. I mean, look, the only reason you would notice this on Wednesday is because you were trying to get to the votes by Friday for the 100-day mark. Now, look, in terms of real impact, if it passes next week, I think I agree with Jordan. It would be lumped into the 100-day successes, and you could turn the whole thing around. But, Jay, if it fails again, if it fails a second time, it's clear you don't have leadership in the House, and you're going to have to look at making a change.
Yeah, the other thing is, look, I think we've also, the positive for the president is clearly on the foreign policy, we went after Syria. We didn't have to debate a red line in the sand. We went after Syria. We dropped the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan because of ISIS. We are telling the North Koreans, hey, there's a new sheriff in town. Now, we're even willing to have diplomacy directly with them. But we are not going to just take this nonsense. We're not going to let them attack South Korea. So this is a whole different ballgame. And I think, of course, our relationship with Israel has never been better. All right, let's grab a phone call in this first segment if we can, Logan, or a comment,
let's do it. I mean, we have Luis, who's been on hold for about half an hour. Luis, welcome. You're from Ohio, and you're on the air.
Yes, Ohio.
Hi.
Listen, yes, President Trump has a wonderful team. I hope the people stand behind him, and they do not encourage him to lose his focus, because I think this is like Custer's last stand. But I've read all your books, and I've given them to the parish priest.
Great.
I start at the top, try to educate these people. But this euthanasia and this death penalty in this Obamacare, they need to really look at that, because it's going to come to everybody.
Well, it needs to be rolled back. I mean, Louise, it just needs to be rolled. They need to get, first of all, thanks for reading all the books and sending them to your priest. That makes us, that's exactly what I want to be able to do. But look, I mean, I share your frustration on this. I mean, I thought today we'd be talking about the vote taking place this moment, or we'd be coming back live this evening to talk about the vote and the rollback of Obamacare, but that is not happening.
No, I mean, and that's what we were hoping. That's what we wanted to do, was to be back here in the studio. Could have been a close vote. Would have been interesting to watch. Would have been a kind of interesting way to end that first 100 days, go into that final
pull
day.
It off, though.
And the Republicans, of course, surprise, surprise. I mean, Anna, she told me yesterday, the news alert comes out, look, they're not going to vote. They're not going to vote on health care.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and so they even got it out early because they realized they have failed.
But the messaging on that is horrendous.
Because why tell us that you could even get it done in those first few days?
So what is that all about, Than? I mean, you're up there every day dealing with these offices. What is that about? Because this is like to the absurd.
The straight truth is, Jay, they were trying to hit that 100-day mark, and they noticed the bill so they'd have an opportunity to vote on Friday, and they could not get to the votes. Now, I think they're close, and I think they still might get there. But look, there's only one way to describe it. You need 216. They didn't have 216.
Again. That's where the leadership in the House is getting an F. I mean, this is, you know, look, there's not a second place on these things. So that's my view. All right, we're going to come back, Logan, and take a lot of calls and comments coming in as well. We'll get to those comments on Facebook,
phones. Phone lines are jammed, but we'll be taking some of those coming up. So if you're on hold, you're listening in South Carolina, Rhode Island, Virginia, Chicago, Kansas, and all over the world. Those are the people that are on hold. We'll have more coming up in the next segment. An exclusive video coming up in the break. So make sure, if you're not watching, log on over to Facebook, facebook.com/JSecular ACLJ.
Don't forget our matching challenge campaign. Little last about 48 hours or so for that. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We're back with more in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, taking your comments via Facebook and Periscope as well. We want to encourage you to engage the conversation, so if you'd like to call us, give us a call. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends and also get your comments in. We're talking about the first 100 days. Let's go right back to the phones. We got people been holding a while here.
Let's take Jerry, who's calling Rhode Island, but hold about a half an hour ago. So, Jerry, you're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, well done on everything. All the commentary so far, exactly. Thanks. On. If it's a blood sport, the people are the referee. Why don't you let the people know who are the holdout Republicans that are not playing on the team and are worried about their own self?
Well, look, it, as Jordan said, it is a blood sport. I mean, politics is, it can be a messy business, and we have been pointing that out. Well, listen, when the Freedom Caucus was blocking it, we talked about that. When it was the Tuesday group, we talked about those guys.
Those guys in the Freedom Caucus, a lot of friends of ours, but I think that they really they caused Paul Ryan a lot of trouble. Paul Ryan wasn't ready for this. And then he's got it from the moderates. Now, the moderates, they should be much easier to coalesce. They're not so ideologically driven as, like, the Freedom Caucus. The Freedom Caucus is 100% behind this, so no more focus on conservatives. I think
especially we're talking about the Obamacare health bill rollout, which was supposed to happen today,
and
the vote.
The question is, if it's not within next week, is it time for you as a Trump supporter to say we need a leadership change in the House? The Senate has kind of moved on. They were able to get Judge Gorsuch confirmed.
They changed the rules.
This is not so much to me about Mitch McConnell. They haven't even gotten the health care law to him. I mean, so that's not his fault.
No, it's getting it out of the House.
The question is, can Paul Ryan wrangle these cats? And so far, he's not been able to.
So, Van, where do you – and I know we work closely with a lot of these folks. Where do you see this going?
Well, look, the Senate's going to get their turn. I mean, I think they'll have our focus
Hold it. Before you get to the Senate, I want to stop you there. Before we get to the Senate and their turn, you got to get it to the Senate for their turn. And so far, we haven't been able to get it to the Senate for their turn.
Totally agree. And I think the focus mainly needs to be on House leadership. Paul Ryan, Kevin McCarthy, and the other Steve
Scalise. So what's their answer to this, Dan? What is their answer to this?
Simply that they cannot find a package to piece together that can give both wings of the party. Look, I would just say, I mean, again, Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, these are guys that have been on this broadcast, and we clearly told the American people they were standing in the way the first time. Now it's people like Charlie Dent, Lee Stefanik, people like that. People have to understand, you cannot get everything you want in a reconciliation process, and if it doesn't come together next week, I do think a leadership change is in order.
I'll tell you, I think it'll be dramatic, but that's what's me. Logan, what are we seeing on Facebook or hearing on Facebook and Periscope, or you want to go right to a phone call? Your choice.
Yeah, we can take a comment here. This would be from Mel. How would Republicans make a leadership change?
Okay, so let's talk about it. That's a good question from Mel. Let's say
that they, we don't get the vote next week on the repeal of Obamacare, on the reconciliation bill. So let's walk through the steps then of what has to happen. Then what do you think will happen? We'll get Jordan's comment on too. But then walk through the procedure first. And then we'll talk about what should happen.
There would have to be a motion for a new vote for speaker, and you need a majority to elect a new speaker. So honestly, Jay, probably what would happen is that vote would come up and nobody would reach the majority level. Therefore, Paul Ryan would remain speaker for subsequent ballots. But look, what that would do is create an opening for additional members on successive ballots to then put their name in the ballot until someone could get a majority.
So it's possible, but there's not even that person yet. The truth is, I'm not sure, and this is actually being – nice to Paul Ryan. I think that there is some truth to also, you know, that he's had a rough job at, is that I don't think anybody else really wants his job. I mean, there's always the kind of some fringe members of Congress that want to challenge them, the majority of their own party, but I'm not sure anyone, Than, is rushing to take that job.
Yeah, I think
nobody is, Jordan. It's very difficult, but I would put it very plainly. There is no excuse after seven years for not repealing Obamacare. So
absolutely
if
not.
You are the leader of the party in the House, you have to get it over the line. Otherwise, I would say maybe nobody wants his job. Maybe in that case, he should step down, and then we'll see who steps up.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call here. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Kim in Greenville, South Carolina. You're on the air.
Hey, Kim.
Hi.
Yep.
Do you have me on, Kim?
Yes,
Kim.
You're on the air.
Hi, how are y'all doing? I wanted to congratulate our president on his first 100 days. I thought he did a great job on rolling back the regulations and nominating Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court.
Getting him confirmed was also, it wasn't just nominating, it was getting him confirmed. I think that was very well done.
Absolutely. If we could replace Paul Ryan, I would love to see Newt Gingrich. Somewhere up there.
He's not elected to Congress.
He's not in Congress. Technically, I don't think you have to be, right? To be the Speaker of the House, do you have to be a sitting member of Congress?
Nope.
That's right. I
so
knew
you
that.
Could bring
See,
someone
a little constitutional secular law
but
here.
I don't think that is going to happen.
I don't think so either.
I think that's, pretty much, I think we need to be more realistic in what we would hope for. It's like we can always hope, Newt Gingrich could come in and save the day. Let's be more realistic about it. It's going to probably come from somebody already in the House of Representatives.
Yep. All right.
All right, let's go to Scott on line 6. We'll hold about 35 minutes. Thanks, Scott.
All right, sorry about holding there, Scott. We've had a lot of calls coming in, but go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. I just appreciate the job you guys are doing. And mine's more of a comment than anything. It's I think Donald Trump has done a very good job during the first 100 days. There's a few things that did concern me, like the bombing of Syria. I didn't really feel like that was our fight, that we really had any skin in that game that needed to be addressed in his first 100 days. I think he doesn't use the bully pulpit enough.
Go ahead and finish. You've been holding a long time. Go ahead and finish.
Well, I think he doesn't use the bully pulpit enough and go directly to the American people, directly to the people that put him in office to get this thing changed and say, hey, these guys are not doing their job. Especially people like Paul Ryan.
Let's just think about this for a moment. Don't hang up. But have you ever seen a president on TV more speaking to the American people? I mean, he's about to speak at the NRA convention as we're talking
to you. That hasn't been done since Ronald Reagan in 1983.
He basically is, even the media who doesn't like him says he's the most accessible. Almost a daily White House press briefing that is extensive. And the president also is not shy of cameras and doing interviews as well. I know he's done many interviews getting ready for this weekend. So I'm just not sure how much more he can do. He always brings in the cameras for the executive order signings.
Right.
He did that this morning. I mean, he has been on TV this morning for at least 2 hours and is about to be on for another hour and a half at an NRA convention with coverage. I think it's the secondary players. It's Congress. I know we don't want to all see Paul Ryan 100 times and these guys speak, but I need them to come out once and not without their heads down.
Say,
we got the votes. We're voting.
Okay.
That
would be good. We're not seeing that. All right, another call, Logan, before the break here.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Scott in Arlington, Virginia.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, just real quick, on the healthcare success, I think that I would disagree and say that it has been a success from the standpoint that the important thing with any bill is just to get it started, Sometimes in America, we kind of fail on the old Russian adage, which says better is the enemy of good enough. And get it good enough, get it in there, see how it goes, how far you can get it. And tweak it as you need.
But we haven't gotten. But Scott, here's where I appreciate what you're saying. But we haven't gotten it to a vote. I mean, we've had 7 years. Republicans have. Conservatives had 7 years to roll this thing back. And when it came out of the gate, and you had the White House, the House, and the Senate, You can't. They can't get it to a vote. Still, we thought that vote was going to be today. That's why we're frustrated, Scott. We thought that vote was going to be today, and it's not going to be today. And Than, I'm sorry. I lay that at the house of the House leader, at the feet of the House leadership. And I understand that, you know, the bills aren't always perfect. But this is a reconciliation bill. Pass the bill. Vote on the bill.
Totally agree with you, Jay. And look, you don't have forever on this, contrary to what Scott is saying. You do have forever to pass a replacement, but you do not have forever to pass anything that is even close to repeal, because you have to do it at a reconciliation. You cannot get to 60 votes, so you have to move it quickly. The only thing I would say to Scott is maybe they should have moved repeal only first, but one way or another,
but they didn't.
That half of it, the promise to the American people, had to be moved quickly, and to this point, it hasn't been.
All right, hey, we got four lines open because we just cleared out a lot of them.
You happy, Logan?
1-800. I'm not happy.
You want us to clear? Let's get calls.
Yeah, let's get some more calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take a lot of them coming up in the next segment. Again, that's 1-800-684-3110. And let's see where people are calling in from.
All right, here's what we've got. Also, I've got to say this. We have said it. The Gorsuch nomination was a success, both on the presidential level, so the executive branch, and also in the legislative branch, the Senate, changing the rules. That was not an insignificant moment. The fact that they did that, and I don't want to undersell that. I mean, Mitch McConnell, I think, handled that actually perfectly. I think that was really handled perfectly. And because of that, we've got a new justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, and we now have rules in place that will make the next confirmation, which I think could even be this summer, that much easier. So I think, look, the Democrats are the ones that started rolling this back. They're paying the price for that. Having said that, as you can tell, our frustration level on the health care issue is very significant. I mean, we think this has been a failure, period. There's no way to code it. It's a failure.
Yes, 7.5 years. Everybody ran. So many of these members of Congress got elected, including those moderates, by the way, and those Freedom Caucus members, and Paul Ryan, and that's how he got to leadership, was to repeal this. The fact is, and Tom Price, who was the HHS secretary, was one of those members of Congress. The fact that they can't get a plan together and vote on just with Republicans, that's all they need. They don't need a single Democrat vote in the House or the Senate, and they still have not yet gotten it together. I don't want to be too hard on them because I want them to succeed here, but if they fail next week, they have not just failed the American people, they've also failed President Trump. For those of you out there who support the president, they are failing him. He can only do so much. That is why we have a separation of powers. So, you know, a lot of this rests. We know he's going to sign it. It all rests on Congress.
Yep. All right, here's what we do, folks, and this is what I think the key is. We need to fight back. We need to be prepared to fight back. And the ACLJ is doing that every single day because of your support of the ACLJ. We're in the last 48 hours of our matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, tax deductible, we're getting a matching gift for it. ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Washington bureaucracy and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-927-8255. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Tomorrow, or Saturday, 100 days for the president, and I give him a good grade. Listen, first of all, you get an A because you got a Supreme Court nominee through in your first 100 days in office, and it took a rule change in the Senate, and you get a Supreme Court nominee through. You start with an A. Then you had a shaky rollout on the EO order, so that would I'd probably give that EO order rollout probably an F, but it's not as big of a deal as a Supreme Court nominee, so I think you're down to a B+. I think overall, they get the messaging and they're getting better at it and get these leaks stopped, and that seemed to be tightening up. I think the run is better. On the House, I don't know what to tell you on that. I mean, what a mess. But I know what I do know, Logan, and that is we've got all our lines are jammed. We need to get to them, and this is the last segment of the broadcast.
Absolutely. Let's just go in order. Yep. Let's go to Mary Ellen in Chicago, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hey, Mary Ellen. Do you remember the Castle ice cream place in Chicago?
Yes. Hello?
That was one of my favorites. Yes. Okay, Mary Ellen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I agree with all your pluses and minuses, but my questions are this.
Yep.
What happened to that bill that the Republicans all agreed on that was sent to Obama and that vetoed, and why did they not dust it off and have ready for Trump on his first day in office?
There you go. You should be the Speaker of the House, Mary Ellen. I don't mean that pejoratively. Right. We pass it. It passes the House. It passes the Senate. President Obama vetoes it. We don't have the votes to override the veto, but we've got the legislation, but evidently not.
Well, that's the truth, is that, again, easy to put forward repeals that you know aren't actually going to be put into place into law, so you won't be responsible.
Yep, exactly.
The president will veto. Then it is when you know that the president will sign it, because President Trump will sign it, which means then you as Congress will own however this affects the American people. We got a bunch of wimps. They are wimps because they're afraid of how this will affect and that some people won't like it. You know what? You're conservative Republicans. That means the government shouldn't be helping so many people. It should not be paying everybody's health care. It should not be covering everyone in every situation. We talk about, you know, the fail-safes for the very poor, the elderly. Okay. The people in the middle who are able to work, who've got two hands and two feet, as conservatives, our job is not to take care of all of them. And why are you so scared about that? Because we're an entitlement country now.
Yeah, that's what's become. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-684-3110. You can tell the Seculo family, and I'm going to include Than Bennett in that family, none too happy about all of this right now. But let's go ahead and take another call.
Let's calm some people down.
But you're not going to get to the tax cuts if you don't do this.
No, what did you say?
I'm trying to look through where people are calling from to see if anyone will calm them down. So let's see. Oh, Jim's calling from beautiful Orlando, Florida. Jim, welcome.
Orlando City. There you go.
Hey, good afternoon, Jay. How are you
today? Hey, good, Jim.
Hey, on the Ninth Circuit,
yes.
It represents 62 million population.
Yes.
The 5th, 6th, and 11th circuits represent 32 million.
Yes.
How do you split that circuit
so
up?
It would take an act of Congress. They've done it before. The 11th Circuit did not exist. There was the 5th Circuit Court of Appeals, and it was split because of the same problem. So this is not rocket science in that sense. You'd have to get consensus. The left will fight it aggressively. But I think it needs to be done. I think it should have been. I think the way that Jordan outlined it is the way it should be done, how to kind of margin those states out.
Western versus coastal.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense, and it needs to happen. So I'm a big advocate of splitting the ninth, not just because of ideology, just because of access to justice.
All right, continuing on. Let's go. All these people calling in right around the same time. Let's go to Lola, who's calling in Louisiana on line 3.
Hey, Lola.
Hi.
Hey, you're on the air.
Okay. He asked me to comment on the negatives and the concerns that I had rather than the positives, because y'all covered that.
Yep.
So first,
yep.
First negative is that I think Trump should show some more restraint on Twitter. Yeah. I don't think he should stop it, but more restraint.
Yep.
Number two, I think Trump found that there was a greater complexity of working with Congress when he got there than he had expected. And then my concerns or recommendations, number one, that the wall should be a combination of technologies, because the wall above ground won't take care of the tunnel.
Well, I have said, Lola, that enhanced border security is the way we should be looking at this. And that will include a physical wall in some places. It will include technology in other places. And like you said, maybe underground walls to stop tunnels in others. So enhanced border security, and I think that would pass. But again, we got to get these things through Congress. Appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in.
All right, Mike's calling in Missouri on line six. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, guys. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate you, your show and all that you do. And I have something to say, and this is to these fellow Republicans. We the people will drain the swamp. And so I hope you Republicans are listening, because if you're not committed to this train, we will kick you off. And every Republican that's blocking stuff, we need to know their name, and they need to be listening to this J. Sekulow show and get their stuff straight, because we're fed up.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think that we could, you know, if this continues, if this is not just a hiccup of the first 100 days of these guys actually having to govern, if this continues, I think you look at a whole list of problem Republicans in Congress and you put up people to primary them and again, replace them with Republicans, good conservatives, who are willing to, again, they're not so scared about long-term political futures that they're unwilling to try new legislation. That's what I think these guys are. Yeah. They are afraid to rock the boat because they want long-term careers that they can then turn into lobbying careers.
Exactly.
And they want to follow that old-school model. That hurts us. That hurts the country.
All right. You want to take a comment, Logan? We'll go right back to the phones.
Let's keep going. Let's go to Alice in Greenville, South Carolina.
Alice, you're on the air.
Hey, Jay. God bless you guys.
Thanks.
We're a longtime supporter.
Great.
I just love the behind-the-scenes stuff on Facebook, too.
Great.
Just got to say that.
We're thrilled with that. Thanks.
So if we take our frustration and put it into action, is this something that should happen? Should we name these moderate Republicans or
Alice, if there's a block on this, then I think we have been naming them, as you know, Alice, and I, by the way, appreciate your support. But then, I mean, let's answer Alice's question, because I think, you know, this is getting to the point where people are, if this does not get resolved next week, I think people are going to say enough.
I think what Mike and Alice are calling for is going to play out next week or when this vote comes up, Jay. And I think when the vote is called, and if it does not pass, the Republicans who are voting no, I think exactly what Jordan described is going to happen, because I don't think Alice and Mike are alone. I think we will look at those votes, and if it doesn't clear the House because of no votes, I bet you those no votes don't come back to the next Congress.
I think next week, Than, what we'll want to look at is those holdout
who they are.
Tuesday group, because they're still Republicans. They may be moderate, but they're still
So we need to talk to them.
And name them and get their offices flooded with phone calls from
probably
their constituents.
Probably a good idea.
All right. Hey, Duncan says we want Jay as Speaker of the House.
Well, you know, technically under the Constitution, that could happen, but I'm not going to do it.
You didn't say no at first. It was good.
I didn't say no at first. I'm not going to be the Speaker. Who wants that job?
Well, maybe it's time. William's calling on line two for last call day from Macon,
Georgia. Which is where I went to law school.
It's my alma mater,
Mercer University. I could be the first Mercer University graduate that's a Speaker of the House.
You do get a cool office, too, overlooking the
hall. It is a nice office.
Yes, William, you're on the
air. Like the office. William, go ahead.
Yes, sir, Jay. Mercer's the hell of a guy here, Macon. But I want to say real quick is that I believe Paul Ryan, as well as a few other slender Republicans, are part of the problem, because they're like wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's why there's been a whole lot of political pushback when it comes to Trump's policies. But what they're doing, they're fighting against the American people. They're not fighting against Trump. They're fighting against the American
people. Well, I think that's the message, Stan, we need to be sending, especially if this does not go well next week. And I'm with Jordan. I think, Stan, next week we start naming the names and get people to start calling on the radio. We got to get this thing through next week. We really do.
We've been naming the names. We'll continue naming the names. But here's where I agree with William. At the end of the day, whose job is it to find the votes? It's the House Republican leadership. So Paul Ryan, Steve Scalise, Kevin McCarthy, they better deliver those votes, or I think William's correct. I don't think they'll be in leadership anymore.
All right, let me encourage everybody that's watching on Facebook and Periscope or listening on radio broadcast stations around the country, or you listen to us wherever you are, let me encourage you to support the ACLJ. We're in our last radio broadcasting day on Friday. We have re-airs on Saturday, of course. But today and tomorrow are it for our matching challenge campaign. We are a little bit behind, so any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Have a great weekend.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.